Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we know that you are the true author of our liberties and freedoms, and we thank you so much for that, the freedom that we have through the knowledge of our salvation and our ultimate destination with you in the heavenlies forever. And we are so comforted by that and appreciate it so much. And Lord, today we ask that you be with us as we study your word, and we pray all this in the name of our Lord and Master, the Christ Jesus. Amen. Our scripture this morning is out of the book of 1 Timothy, and we'll be reading chapter 6. And it starts on page 1806 in your companion Bible. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which will some coveted after they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen, nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen.
Is that better? Forgot to turn on the mic. Just like, for example, Sir Edmund Hillary didn't happen to just arrive at Mount Everest because one Sunday afternoon he was just walking around and was the first guy to climb Mount Everest. He had the purpose to go there. It didn't just happen. And that's the way it is with the will of God in your life. You will not accidentally discover the will of God for your life. Some years ago in the mail, I got a package from my sister, and in that package was her last will and testimony. And she had written in there, I want you to keep this will so that when something happens to me, my family will be able to know what is my last will. Her will is written for her family to find. And similarly, God's will for you is written down. That will, his will, is in the Word. The will of God is in the Word. The will of God for your life is in the Word. And to find it, you must go there. Like my sister's will, or your will, or my will, it must be read. It is the reading of the will that allows one to communicate what his will is. So you say, how do you sort this out? How do you find it in the Word? Well, first, there's two words in the Scripture that are translated will, or God's desires, or God's what has been determined by God. One of the words is bolamai, and I don't expect you to remember that, but there's two different words. Bolamai, which means to determine or to purpose. It's like my sister's will. She has determined what she wants done with her things. The other word in Scripture is thelo. It is a will that is desired or to wish. You wish this thing would take place. It's not set in stone. So this morning, I want to distinguish between these two. God's purpose or intent, that which He has determined, versus His will or desire for your life. Now, generally speaking, the things that God has determined or purposed or bolamai are unchangeable, like our last will and testimony. They are set in concrete. They are unchangeable, even by the judge. Whatever you write in your will, that's the way it is. And that's the way it is with this term in the Scripture, bolamai. Unchangeable things. And it covers, with regard to God's will, it covers things like our salvation. It's unchangeable. He has spoke it, and there it is. He has written it down. We find it in the Word. Our hope, our calling, our forgiveness. He can't back up Himself on forgiveness. His love, it's unchangeable. It is bolamai. It is set. It's God's will. It's purposed. Death, there's not likely to be a change in the wages for death. The wages of death, the wages of sin are death. It is set. God's will. There's nothing that can be done or changed with regard to these things. But here is the good part of that. It is here that we find our foundation of our faith. It is in these things that God has willed that we find our strength, that we have confidence in Him, our security, the need for solace at 3 a.m. in the morning when things are not going right. So we thank Him for those things that fall underneath this type of will. But the other word in Scripture, thelo, or His wishes, are a different story. And this is what I want to focus on or look at today, because here lies the key to finding the will of God for your life, or what He wishes that you would do. Let me ask you a question. Does man have a free will? Do you have a free will? Is man's will free, like bolamai? The term free will is not found in the Scripture. That's man's invention. And we get bamboozled into the idea that we have this free will. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. beginning with verse 16 of that sixth chapter, Paul speaking to the Romans. He says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." What he's saying here, the surprising thing is, in God's eyes, according to these verses in verse 17 and 18, you are bound as slaves in this life to two ways only. Either to sin or to righteousness. That's what your choice is, according to God. There's no room in that. We find no other way. It's either bound to sin or bound to righteousness. So where's the freedom in that? Technically, you have but a freedom of choice to do the desires of God, bound to sin, bound to righteousness. Now, in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, to do the will of God or to do his wish, man had to do nothing to live in righteousness. He could just live. He had to do nothing. However, there was a commandment: don't eat of that tree. Today, because of man's choice, because he did eat of that tree, it's completely reversed. Man needs to do nothing to remain in rebellion and death. You do nothing, that's where you are. Before, in the garden, you do nothing and you were bound to live eternally. Just don't eat of that tree over there. But today, you must do something to claim righteousness, doing God's will or desire. You have to do something. You have to make a choice. You're going to make a choice between being slave to sin or slave to righteousness. Turn over a page to Romans chapter 7, verse 25. Paul says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So here is a hint with regard to finding the will of God. It has something to do with the mind. The will of God has something to do with your mind. Turn over farther in the book of Romans to Romans chapter 12, verses 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Here Paul appeals to us, because of the mercies of God, to prove what is the will of God. What is the thelos? What is his wishes? And he presents here two aspects of that. One is negative, one is positive. The negative, he says, be not conformed. That means with regard to morals, language, dress, drugs, ethics, premarital sex, manners, greed, hedonism, music. All of these things, he says, be not conformed to these things in your life. We find them in the book of Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 5. It's page 1757 in the Companion Bible. Galatians chapter 5. And in that fifth chapter of Galatians, we'll start with verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they are Christ's law, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Be not conformed, Paul's saying, to these things. That, things of the world, that's the negative part. But the positive part was be transformed, or to prove or have access to God's will for you. How do you do that? Paul suggests two ways here in these verses. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. The primary meaning is to yield or stand beside. We hear it in Christ's prayer, not my will, but thine be done. In sickness, in health, yield yourself to whatever it is that comes your way in life. And you've heard me use this example before with a person who presented his body a living sacrifice. Actually, he did not be conformed to this world, and that was Jan McGinnis, who was a member here. He did not conform to the typical attitude of one who had critical illness and was faced with death. Even though it was hard and it ended in premature death, Jan refused to wilt under the stress of that. He did not say, why me, Lord? He did not say that it was unfair. He didn't even pray for the Lord to heal him. He said, Lord, thy will be done, whatever that might be. If I'm dead, I'm dead. If I get well, I'm well. I know you can heal me, but thy will be done in this manner, in this situation. He did not blame God. He did not become bitter. He did not say, he did not envy others and their health. As a result, he did not conform to this world, but became a tremendous source of strength to doctors, to strangers, to nurses, to friends, to family, because of the faith that he had. He refused to conform to this world. He willingly presented himself to faith in Christ, regardless of what life threw his way. It is of this type that Paul speaks of when he says, ye may prove or access the desires or wishes of God by a living sacrifice of yourself to family, to friends, to spouse, to country, to ministries, to study the Word, to giving. You sacrifice yourself. The second way he points out, is by the renewing of your mind. And this is a real dilemma under the circumstances in which we live today. Turn back in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. We in this flesh cannot be perfect. You cannot keep things from coming in your mind, you know, with regards to the flesh. I might want to rob a bank. That's of the flesh. My mind can't go there. I can't keep those things from coming into my mind. But they don't have to remain there. We have the responsibility to say, with my mind, I myself will serve the law of God. So I don't follow through on those things, whatever they might be of the flesh. I might want to rob a bank, but I, you know, for the money. But I don't do that because with my mind, I myself will serve the laws of God. Paul tells us how to do that. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The renewing of your mind. I just returned from being with a group of my friends in Georgia over the last few days. And where I was in northeast Georgia, at a place called Clayton. And all the people that have money from Florida and Atlanta, they come up into Clayton. And there's a place there at Clayton called the Highlands. And the company that I was on, we built this golf and country club there. The lots are $300,000 to $500,000 for the lots. The homes there are $3 to $5, $6, $8, $10 million homes. And while I'm there, I just am amazed at these folks. You know what they think on? They think on money. And it's reiterated to me year after year after year. And we just read here, the root of all evil is the love of money. It's not, money's not evil in itself. It's the love of that. These folks have their mind on that and nothing else. And it's amazing to me how insecure they are, how wealthy they are, and yet they have nothing. The renewing of your mind. With my mind, I myself will serve the laws of God. And we have just read what those wishes are of him. Basically, Paul's saying, get your mind out of the gutter, I think, if you want to sum it up. And Proverbs 23:7 says, So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. I read that verse when I was in high school, and I figured out it must be a girl or maybe a Corvette. My mind was focused on those things. I hadn't got around to the scripture yet. I didn't quite understand the renewing of your mind and finding the will of God for my life. The mind that seeks the will of God for one's life to be transformed, to be renewed, occupies the mind with these things that Paul is teaching in Romans and in Philippians. Now, a word of caution. Don't trivialize the will of God for your life. Mundane things like where you live. What do you like? You like cold weather, hot weather? You know, he doesn't care where you live. What kind of car you drive? You know, Max likes Avantes. My brother-in-law's crazy about Chevrolets. God doesn't care. Your career. He doesn't care what your career is. He doesn't care if you're a doctor, a garbage collector, an actress, a musician. Those things are trivial to him. Your vacation. I had an employee that agonized every year as to where God wanted him to go on vacation. God doesn't care where you go on vacation. What God cares about is how are you when you get there? And what are you doing while you're there? That's the thing that falls within the will of God. Not these trivializing things. So let me just sum this up with 6 points that we've talked about. The will of God is found in the Word, nowhere else. Spiritual maturity comes from being in His will. Basically, it amounts to sanctification. But you can't make yourself holy, of course. 3, there are 2 words translated will, philos, the desire or wishes of God, and that's where your will is found. Bolamai, that's purpose or determined. His will has been set in concrete. 4, how to get into the will of God. 1, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed in your mind. Get out of the gutter. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, an attitude of not my will, but thine be done. 5, man has choice, not a free will. And 6, don't trivialize his will for your life. I hope this gives you some direction and idea as to what God's will is for you. And it becomes different for all of us because we all are going in different directions, but it all has the same basic principles of His will for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for the written Word, for the opportunity that we have as a result of understanding there, a peace of mind that passes understanding. I pray for each here that our eyes may continue to be opened, and that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of You. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.